Welcome to Social Media Know-How, the podcast featuring the greatest minds and brands in the world of social and digital marketing. And now, your host, founder and CEO of Link Humans, Jorgen Sundberg.
Hey Zan, Svesan, how is it going? Many thanks for tuning into Social Media Know-How, the Link Humans podcast. Guess what? I am your host. Yeah, that is right. Jorgen Sundberg. And this podcast is where we slice and we dice social media in all shapes and sizes. That's my own sound effects, by the way. Budget cuts here at Link Humans. Raindrops keep falling on my head here at the office. Well, actually, I did use a brolly this morning and we have got a roof on the building, but you get the idea. Summer rain. It's the penultimate week of June 2016. Someone said that end of next week is actually July, so time flies, eh? I am very excited about today's show. I'm going to be joined by my old online buddy, Krishna Day, and we're going to talk about that very popular feature nowadays, live streaming video, which you can do across different networks. So more on that shortly. Right, so you missed it. Yep, we did the office warming party last week, and it was great fun. I've had a couple of listeners get in touch saying they couldn't make it last week, especially as I think England played Wales in the Euros that afternoon. Always a good excuse to have a couple of pints in the pub, I suppose. But they promised to drop round for a coffee at some point, and that's basically my open invite to you. Feel free to pop in for a coffee or a tea, and we'll even provide biscuits. Having a cool office really makes you want people to come in and check it out. So yay all around, and feel free to just drop in. And if you do, please get in touch. Just let me know when you want to come. And I'd love to welcome you and love to hear from you for any other reason too. Just ping me an email at jorgen@linkhumans.com. Okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for a tip of the week. My little tip of the week this week isn't actually tech-related. Well, in a sense it is. Well, in a sense it very much is, but it's actually something old school. It's a book. It's a book called Elon Musk, Tesla, SpaceX, and the Quest for a Fantastic Future by Ashley Vance. As you would expect, this is a biography of Elon Musk, so that the innovator, billionaire, and all-round inspirational character out of Silicon Valley. It tracks his family origins in South Africa, his tough upbringing, his move to Canada, and then, of course, how he got to Silicon Valley. And, he was part of the team behind PayPal. And then how he cashed out, made a lot of money. He funded SpaceX, so the space exploration company, Tesla, electric cars, and other businesses. And of course, it also tells a story of how odd he is, almost on par with Mark Zuckerberg on that front, I would say. Anyway, this was a fantastic read, really inspirational for anyone who likes business, which I'm sure most people on this listening to this podcast would do. Elon Musk has really done it right. He's started with why, as Simon Sinek would be proud. And this why is his goal of humanity colonizing other planets to ensure the survival of the species. But starting with Mars, by the way. And he's arguably the toughest boss around since Steve Jobs. But he does get people aligned with a very, very strong purpose. If you're a rocket engineer, would you rather build interballistic missiles where you blow up people? Or would you want to help to create life in outer space? I think that's probably an easy choice, and I'm sure it helps their talent acquisition strategy. Anyway, that's my tip of the week. Check out the book Elon Musk by Ashley Vance. It's available in all formats, hard copy, soft copy, as well as audio. And if you like it, make sure you follow Elon Musk on Twitter as well. He's very active there and quite a funny tweeter. Okay, with that, it's time to transition to this week's interview all about video. I'm going to patch in Dublin on the Emerald Isle, that green isle, basically. But before I do that, just a quick trivia question for you. Do you know why Dublin is the world's fastest growing city? You'll get the answer at the end of the interview.
Krishna Day, how are you doing?
Excellent. Thanks so much for the opportunity to catch up with you today.
Absolutely. Really good to speak to you. Now tell our dear listeners what you do.
Okay, so what I used to do is probably very helpful for your listeners to understand, to put our conversation in context.
Yeah.
So historically, I actually worked for a FTSE 100 company. I was in a number of different roles, from strategy, business development, but I spent most of my career actually as a senior vice president of human resources, and was in Asia, North America, and also in Europe. And so I didn't anticipate that, jump forward about 10, 11 years, that I'd be talking so much about technology. So my background was big brands, and specifically in terms of communications. So I would have had also not just the HR team, but also internal communications responsible, working to my guide, I guess, as part of our team. But now what's happened is that when I established my own company, which I thought was going to be about employer branding and employee engagement, what started to happen is I started to use tools back in 2005, and then was being invited by people to say, tell us what you're doing. How is it you're doing that? And as a result, I've taken that big brand experience. So I'm not a technology guru at all. I know probably enough to be dangerous, but I've taken that knowledge of being in large organizations and understanding what you need to do in terms of connecting to audiences, be that internal or external, and actually have put that together with my use of social media and digital technology. So now I speak and I write and I lecture around how to use digital communication, specifically social technologies, in terms of communications, crisis management, online reputation. And my real passion at the moment is visual communications, be that from images to online video to live video, which is one of the topics we're going to talk about today.
Yes, I wanted to explore mobile live video. Tell us, first of all, why should brands be looking at this, and you know, what's the opportunity?
Well, I'm sure that a number of the people that you've got listening here today have been experimenting with webinar platforms. Perhaps they've used platforms such as Ustream and Livestream in the past, maybe for annual results or internal communications or sharing information about what's going on and events for their organizations. The big significant change that we've seen probably in the last 15 to 18 months is the fact that that has now become very accessible for us to do at minimal cost, and also with just mobile devices. So the reason that I think organizations need to pay attention, and many of them are already, to this, is that for a long time, people have said, we want to learn what's going on inside an organization. We want to see the real people there. That's who we trust. You know, if you look at organization barometers such as the Edelman Trust Barometer, you know, we trust people like us versus faceless organizations, yeah. No matter what sector they're in, then this is the opportunity. So there's some opportunities really around the fact of it makes it very accessible because it's on a mobile device. That means that you can share things in a way that perhaps you wouldn't have done before. In the past, you might have had to bring cameras and rigs in and audio and lighting and a professional crew. Now we can do that literally from a device that we have in our pocket, providing that we've got good Wi-Fi or data connection, which also is making it very cost effective for organizations, not only giving a different perspective of what's going on in the organization, but is also reducing costs, overheads in some cases.
Yeah, and could you talk us through this step-by-step guide to doing it right?
Yeah, so I think the key thing in terms of mobile live video is just or live streaming, some people might call it, is that what you're doing there is that you are going to be effectively sharing what you see and what you hear around you to the audience on whatever platform they're on. And one of the key things that we've seen with mobile live video is the ability where you could have either one or multiple people at the same time. And then the other thing you can look at is actually how people interact. So in some platforms, you bring people in and they can also be in the screen with you, or it might be that they're commenting and then you respond to the comments. So that's why it's really social, about the fact that it's interactive in that way. So just in terms of a way to get started, I actually have been covering live streaming and live video for several years in terms of case studies on different platforms. And what I've seen now in terms of actually going to mobile live video is really just give you five little steps that you can think about. So before you press the start button, I'm going to give you something which spells out start. So my S is for let's be strategic. Let's understand what are you trying to do in terms of using these platforms? What's the goal that you're trying to support? Maybe there's a communications goal. Maybe there's a resourcing goal. Maybe there's an employer branding goal. So let's understand what that is. Like anything else that you do in communications, how does this tie back to something else? Now, it could be very purely you want to learn about this. You want to experiment. You want to be seen as an innovator. That's fine, as long as we're clear about that. The second thing is my second letter for you, T. T is about technology. There is a little thing that you need to take, or a few things you need to take into consideration in terms of technology. Now, you can get started with literally a mobile phone and nothing else. But I would encourage you to think about some things such as the lighting. So the environment that you're in, how do you make sure you get the best lighting possible? Maybe that's about the daylight that you have, or maybe you have to accentuate it with some other lighting. The other thing is about, because you're on a mobile device, your battery power. I've seen lots of people actually fall flat because they've actually run out of battery. And the third thing you might look at there is about Wi-Fi or data. You know, mobile live streaming eats up a lot of data. So either go for an unlimited contract or make sure that you know what your cap is there, particularly if you're going to do long live streams. I've seen some people do them like 8 hours in terms of a mobile live stream. Others might do it just a few minutes. So make sure you've got sufficient data or you've got a good Wi-Fi connection, because that could help you, that could stop you. The third letter I have for you, of course, in the word start is A is for audio. And people will be forgiven of some visuals, but they'd be less forgiving if you've got great audio. So a very simple thing that you can do is, most of you will have a headset that comes with your earbuds, with a microphone that comes with your smartphone or your smart device. Then use that, because that can help you reduce the ambient sound, particularly if you're outside, then you're going to have some wind buffering very often. So just simply do that. Now, I do have lots and lots of resources on my website, which we can talk about later if people are interested. But, you know, the minimum you can get away with is just your earbuds that comes with your phone. The R for you in the letter start is rights. Rights for me incorporate things like, do you have the rights of the people, or the agreement of the people to be able to actually show them in an event in your live stream? So as an example, even if you had an in-house event, you good practice would be to make sure people know that you're going to be live streaming it, so that if they don't want to be on camera, because that could be caught and recorded and published in all sorts of platforms afterwards, then they step out of the way. So I've been at events where they've said that right up front, so you make sure you stand out of the way. The same in terms of the rights to the graphics and any brand imagery you're going to share, and also the rights to music. Increasingly, I'm seeing people are sharing music, and if you're going to repurpose your content, particularly you need to think about that. So even if you're doing concerts, I mean, I've spoken to a concert hall who does live streaming for a number of their events, but they also have to make sure they've got the permission of the people there involved to do that. And my last letter in the word start, so we've covered strategy, we've covered technology, audio, rights. The last one is test. So before you even hit the start button, I'd encourage you to test. So you can do things like, how am I going to title this? How have I got the right camera angle? Let's see how I'm going to navigate through. Perhaps you're doing a walkthrough of something. And also, what are people looking like on camera? What's the sound like? The other thing to remember, because if you're using a smart device, you've got a front-facing and a rear-facing camera, and that can affect the audio quality. So again, using those earbuds or using a separate microphone will also help that. So they're my five things I'd look at before you even hit the start broadcast button.
Great, thanks for that. And I just want to pick up on getting the permission to include people on your footage and so on. I was I would agree with that. You know, always to warn people or get permission. I've heard from other broadcasting professionals, they say that as long as it's in a public place, you're allowed to shoot video of people in crowds and so on. Is that what's wrong and what's right?
In terms of absolutely in a public place, just be clear that you know what is a public place.
Okay, so right?
a shopping centre could be seen not as a public place. I've seen people escorted out of shopping centres for live streaming because that's not considered a public place. So just understand what the permissions are. I do a live stream show all about live streaming with a co-host. He happens to work for the BBC. He often tell people about this particular place along the banks of the River Thames that, in fact, whilst you might be able to walk along it, is not in public. It's not a it's a private space. So yes, that's a good shortcut around. Said as long as in a public space, I guess my caveat would be clear that you know what a public space is.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay, and I think you've implied some of these, but so what are the challenges with live video, mobile live video, and where do you see brands and people getting it wrong?
I think in terms of the first thing I'd say is not actually doing it.
Yeah,
because
okay,
there's so many organizations who are still not yet confident and actually are considering using live video, where it actually could be a great opportunity. And I know that because of the work that you do, very often you're talking about the employment opportunity in terms of the employer brand, employee communications, as well as other marketing elements. There are so many opportunities that are there. So I think the first thing is, some organizations haven't yet even considered it. The second area I'd say is that they think about it in terms of, this is just another platform that we can broadcast. And so I think that lots of people are saying, oh, this is like having a TV in your pocket. And I'd say, no, it's not. I've changed my opinion. You might have even heard me say that, perhaps a year ago. It's not like having a TV in your pocket, because a TV in most cases is actually not interactive. And I think that's the second thing, is understanding that actually when people want to interact with you when you're doing using one of these platforms as well. And the third thing I'd say is just not having a compelling enough story. You wonder why people don't come into your live broadcast. It might be because you haven't promoted it, but it might be because the storytelling, the conversation, the things that you're sharing are not of interest. So there would be three things I'd say over and above my 5-point start opportunity.
Okay, great. And if we look at the technology, so I guess the pioneer, well, you mentioned Ustream, which I've known for years, but the pioneer in this space, at least in the mobile live video, would be Meerkat, who now shut down the live streaming elements. So there's Periscope, who kind of took their glory. There's Facebook Live, there's Blab, there's YouTube Live, and lots of other players. Can you talk us through what are some of the considerations of, you know, what platforms are good for what purposes?
Yeah, so I often talk to clients about this in terms of deciding what's the right platform for them. So let me talk you through some considerations and we can weave in those different platforms as we go through.
Yeah.
First thing might be, well, are you trying to share something that is just one person on screen, or do you want multiple people on screens in different locations? So as an example, in terms of the native app of Periscope, which is owned by Twitter, has one screen. Now, I know people hack it in that they might show their screen and they show a Skype conversation where they've got a few people in it. But Periscope is essentially made for one person. Whereas you mentioned a platform there such as Blab, blab.im, you can have up to four people at any one time, and they can come there on their desktop, or in fact they can use their mobile device. So that's one thing, one or many people. The next one would be, actually, what about the audience you're trying to reach? So for example, if you're doing this inside an organization, you might want to consider about, well, what's your internal technology? I know some organizations that could not use certain platforms because people would want to view it on a browser, and they're not using certain browsers, so they haven't been installed in the organization. So I think that's the second thing that you want to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Third thing would be privacy. Again, from an organization perspective, I was talking to one organization who wanted to do something with their partners, and because they wanted it private, then that needs some different considerations. So for example, I mentioned blab.im, there's none of that content can be private. On Facebook Live, which is now available for all of us to use, a Facebook Live broadcast from your Facebook page is public. But you could do private broadcasts into a private group or to people who have been invited to a specific event. So that's another consideration. Embed features. Some organizations want to use the benefit of having having an event, but they actually want to make sure that they're bringing people back maybe to a microsite or an intranet, or they want to bring people back to their website. So embed features. So you mentioned about YouTube Live. YouTube Live, you cannot at this point in time go to start a YouTube Live from a mobile device without using some third-party tools. So yes, you can use YouTube Live, and the benefit of that is you get an embed code in advance, which you don't with the other platforms, although you do, I should say, with Blab, but it allows you to go private. So you actually could also put that on an intranet, and you could also embed it on your site as well. So embed features might be another thing you want to look at. The other thing you might want to consider is, where is your community already? So that's why I think Facebook Live, because it's now available, lots of people have already built up communities on Facebook. So that might be a consideration rather than starting to build a new community in a different place. Multiple cameras. Do you want to use one or multiple cameras? So again, that would make you think about using some third-party tools. And you could do that with tools that would work with Facebook Live, with Blab, with YouTube Live as well. And the other one would be archiving of content. Do you want there to be a replay on that same link that you take people that you've actually promoted in advance? So as an example, on Periscope, at the time that we're speaking now, and I know it will change in the future because that's what they've said about the app, but at the moment on Periscope, the live stream is only available for 24 hours. You can, of course, have access to download that and replay it somewhere else and repurpose it in other platforms. But if you wanted people to be able to go back over time and watch it outside of that 24 hours, and that could be, let's say, from an organization's point of view, you've got people on shift patterns, you've got people on vacation, you've got different time zones, you might want to have something that's longer than that 24 hours. So that's another consideration. So there's lots of platforms. I think start off with, goes back to my S and start of actually being strategic. What are you trying to do? Who are you trying to reach? And then, you know, you can start to work out what the right solution is for your organization and for the communications challenge you're facing.
And for yourself, did you start with Meerkat and did you migrate to Periscope and maybe Facebook Live? What's been your journey?
Well, I have been tracking live streaming for several years. So I've been writing about case studies of organizations using Google Hangouts on Air.
Yes.
Initially. Yeah. So I talked a lot of different organizations over the last 4 years who've been using Google Hangouts on Air, and then also had been starting to use YouTube Live. And then when Meerkat came out, then I was pretty early in the first few weeks of jumping onto Meerkat. My first broadcast on Periscope was on the morning that it launched. So I started to use Periscope then. I don't use it so much now. I do a weekly live stream show all about live video. And I happen to use the platform Blab. And again, I was on there very early after it opened up. And Facebook Live, I couldn't wait to get onto Facebook Live. So I've got access to that now because I've got access to it on my profile and on my page, and it's available on iOS and Android. So I see part of what I do all the time is I'm constantly experimenting and testing things out and trying to work out what's the right solutions for the people I teach and the organizations that I work with.
And what's the flavor of the month? What's your favorite right now?
I don't have a favorite because it depends on the platform.
No, but for your purposes.
So what I really like Blab for my week. So I do a weekly show. And so I have that and we set that up and we co-host that and we bring guests in. So that makes it really simple. And I think one of the reasons you've seen a lot of people start to look at Blab, although not yet hugely adopted by organizations, there are some notable organizations who've been using it, is it is less complex to get people to use than Google Hangouts on Air. Google Hangouts on Air and YouTube have been sometimes difficult to get your guests to be able to join. And I know that even from a day or so ago, I was doing a podcast recording with somebody and we had difficulty getting people to do that. That was a backup recording we were going through in terms of with that product. Now, I have to say that, you know, Google have announced that there's going to be YouTube Connect coming soon, a way for us to live stream with mobile devices. And I think that will be great. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. So for a talk show, approach, then I'd look at that. You know, I'm somebody who's been doing podcasting for about 11 years, so I'd have been using Blog Talk Radio and all sorts of other tools in the past. So it's just nice to see video incorporated in that now. I don't like that that platform, though, if I wanted to do something private. And so that's why I like the new features that you've got available with Facebook. I think the opportunities that are now available with Facebook that we'll probably touch on in a moment or two, are because they've now released their API, are going to make it pretty exciting for large organizations in particular, and people who want to put a little bit more you know, planning and production values into their content. So Facebook Live, I think, is pretty exciting. But, you know, I am looking forward to what YouTube Connect is going to be in terms of what Google decides that they're going to bring out there for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we look beyond the big platforms, are there any other tools or apps that simplify your life as a broadcaster?
I would create a lot of content on my phone. Most of the content I'm doing is on my device. And so as a broadcaster, one of the things that I like to do is repurpose my content. Mm-hmm. And so I actually use various apps on my phone to both create images, to promote that content, to create images that become the front image that, let's say, for my YouTube or my Facebook live stream once it's happened. And so I couldn't do anything without my mobile phone, to be honest. Most of my content's created on my phone these days. And I wouldn't be without Twitter. I know there's lots of questions about Twitter, but Twitter has been a great way for me to connect to people who've been guests on our show. We've planned whole shows by direct messages because direct messages can be, you know, very long now. You're not restricted to 140 characters. So I've planned a whole show before. In fact, my co-host and I, we plan a lot of things on Twitter between one show and the next week. You know, we share, here's a new story that we want to cover and so on. So I frankly would miss Twitter if it wasn't around.
Fair enough. Okay. Right. And so for brands that want to do mobile live streaming, how can they justify the return on investment? How do they measure it?
I think it's like anything in social. So you've got to think about what are you trying to do? So in the first instance, it might be about awareness. We want people to be aware. Now, I know, Jorgen, that you were really interested in terms of when you've been looking at this whole topic of actually from the talent agenda. In terms of actually how could you use it around the culture and talent. So in that particular case, the awareness might be, do people even know what we stand for? Do people even know what our brand consists of? And I know, having worked in corporate, very often people didn't understand the breadth of what we did. And so one of the things you could do is actually just build that awareness about what your organization stands for through live streaming. It might be you want to create more interaction and engagement. I'll give you an example. I actually did some training a little while back with a very large international organization, and I was with the recruitment team. And we had a huge segment on the social media training program all about live streaming. And actually we used live streaming even in a training session for them to get feedback from an audience about what would people like to see from them in terms of the kind of content that would be useful for them to share through live streaming to tell people about their organization. So that live stream was all about engagement and interaction and getting ideas. So it may not always be kind of let's look at dollars and cents at the end of the day, or euros. The third thing might be around, well, do you want people to take action? What's the call to action you've got during that event? So is it about more people start to talk about you? But it might be very specifically, your call to action is that you want people to go ahead and come over to your career site and learn more about something, or download a document. So again, very often people forget to think about what the call to action is. It doesn't have to be buy a product, but it could be something else that you can do. And you can be really smart, like in any of this social platform, by giving unique codes or unique URLs or unique phone numbers or unique email addresses, so you can start to track it. I think in the first instance, so it's going to be around, your return on investment is going to be probably around, for most people, awareness. Some people, to be honest, though, are also saying, I want to be using this because we want to be seen as an innovative and a relevant employer and organization. So sometimes people, you know, start to use some of these platforms because they want to be seen as being accessible and, you know, using technology that they know that their audience will be familiar with.
Yeah, absolutely. And I spoke to Lars Schmidt on this podcast some time ago about Hootsuite, and they did what they call Operation Follow the Sun, which was basically people periscoping in offices all around the world for Hootsuite. So it was following the day in different offices. And yeah, it was all about culture and people branding. And I think they did it partly just to inspire some of their clients and their employees to, you know, what opportunities are available with Periscope.
I'd love to give you an example of something that might be of interest in the context of recruitment. Now, this wasn't recruitment as into jobs, but actually it was a recruitment into university. And it was, for me, a really good example. I've got a 15-year-old daughter, and she's at the stage where she's trying to think about what she wants to do in the future. And she and I together watched a live stream from an organization which is near where I hail from. I actually am a Geordie by birth. So it was Newcastle University. And they did a really good job in terms of doing a Periscope in this particular case, where it was like Ask the Medic. So they had two students who were, I think, third year students in medical college, and they did this live stream. They promoted it beforehand, and people could come in and ask the students about what's it like to study there, what's it like for the terms of the nightlife, what's it like going versus another university. And the students were really interesting in terms of they were straightforward. They said, you'd get this in Durham and you don't get this in Newcastle. And I asked my daughter at the end what she thought, because, you know, does she want to do medicine? Does she want to do history? She's not sure what she wants to do at the minute. And she'd also been going around and actually looking at universities. She'd been looking at some of their websites and so on and so forth at that time. And she said, that did more for me in terms of making me want to actually go to Newcastle University than anything else could have done. And it was interesting because she'd been to a careers fair in the same week, and she'd met some people from different universities at that careers fair, and they had done nothing to engage her. And I thought that was just really interesting that Newcastle actually put their brand in the hands of two student medics to actually talk about why you might want to consider and what the experience is like in terms of going to Newcastle University.
Great. Okay. Well, I hope our university listeners are paying attention. Great. And beyond Newcastle University, are there any other brands in this space that inspire you and that our listeners should check out?
Not all of these organizations that I'm going to share with you now are constantly live streaming. So some organizations do it around campaigns and being campaign specific.
For sure.
So you probably will be able to find all of these, though, in terms of you do a quick search for them. The first one I would want to bring in, I'm trying to give you some examples of European and also international. One of the first ones I saw that was the most inspiring for me was the British Museum. And the British Museum actually did a great live stream where it was really high production value. They actually had somebody else who fronted it in terms of he was very entertaining. And it's Dan Snow, also known as the History Guy.
Oh, yeah.
So he can make history really entertaining. But they didn't just leave it to Dan. He did a unique tour around an exhibition that was going on. It was probably almost a year ago now that they did it. At the end of it, he actually met up with the curator of that exhibition. So it wasn't just Dan the being the personality. You actually got to meet people from the British Museum. But the production values were great, and they had a really good call to action during it, which was, if you enjoyed this and you want to see this exhibition, we've actually got, here's a specific code that you can use to purchase your tickets online. They did something for me, which is, I haven't been to the British Museum for, I don't know, 20-something years since I lived in the UK. And so they actually reminded me of the British Museum. They actually got me to think about, if I'm actually going to be in London with my kids in the near future, that's actually gone back up my kind of awareness and my consideration list. So they did a great job. It was entertaining. They had a great call to action, but really good production values. The second one would be General Electric. General Electric do a great job as a B2B organization. Lots of people say, B2B, how on earth can that work for social media or live streaming? They've done a really good job in terms of on live video where they've actually, again, have shown that they're interested in technology, have actually demonstrated how they're involved in things. They've done things like get involved in Drone Week, both in 2015 and 2016. They've done a great job in terms of promoting it. But they also do a really good job in terms of responding to comments. So there's some things that they do behind the scenes. So they actually, the way they set up their live streams so that it's not just the, let's say the drone has got the camera on top of it or your phone on top of it, and therefore nobody's answering questions. When two people do post questions, for example, into Periscope, then they actually do go back and respond. So that's why I'd highlight them. My third one is actually the BBC. The BBC actually have been experimenting with live video and live streaming on a number of platforms, from Periscope to Facebook Live. And I saw a really great example of them using Facebook Live recently. And that was the fact that they had a new series that was coming up, and it was specifically around mental health. And what they did is, rather than just doing a Twitter chat or a Facebook chat, they used live video, and they told you beforehand, and they had two different experts. So you could come in and you could ask questions of those experts around questions relating to mental health. And it also was a great preview and a precursor to a series that got going on. To televise and to create a TV program cost a lot of money. They actually, with zero cost other than people's time, were able to actually put additional content around to help promote that. And again, I didn't happen to watch the TV series, but they could have done live streams in between each of the different episodes of that series. So they're just three to have a look at.
Excellent. So you got two Brits, one Yank there. And what about the island? Apart from yourself, is anyone rocking it on the Green Isle?
Well, there's actually a number of organisations who have done some great things. One I'd say is probably one of the most integrated campaigns that I've seen in any live streaming was an organisation called Permanent TSB. So they're a bank. Mm-hmm. And they are in a situation where they were looking to try to attract first-time buyers. So it's been a tough market, and also the economy hasn't been great in Ireland. Now, again, because they're in an organization or a sector where you can't sell financial services. So what they did is they partnered with estate agents, and they actually did virtual house tours with a number of estate agents. And I talked to them about their experience and their case study. But what they also did is they did some really interesting integration. So they integrated it into a microsite. They had the replays available. And they also did a recording of that replay because it was on Periscope they happened to use. They used banner advertising. So they used a lot of digital integrations to be able to draw attention. So they weren't just leaving it to, we're going to be on Periscope tomorrow. They actually put a lot of planning. And in that particular case, I know because I spoke to them, they did work with an agency. So that for me would be stand out, because a lot of people just say, let's go live. These guys actually said, okay, we want to see this as an integrated part of our campaign, really to actually provide relevant information to first-time buyers. And you asked me earlier about return on investment, and that was a question I asked them. And actually for them, it was actually about awareness being seen as relevant, but also they got people interested in the properties that actually they were showcasing. So that, you know, obviously that didn't mean that those people went on and got a permanent TSB mortgage, but it actually showed that permanent TSB did care about that first-time buyer and giving them useful information about some properties that were coming up in and around Ireland at that time.
Very clever. Great. Okay, my final question. Where can our listeners learn more about yourself, Krishna? And also, I'm sure they're dying to see you on a live stream. Where can they find you?
Okay, the best place to find me is over on my site, which is krishna.me, or if Twitter's your place that you like to hang out, Krishna Day is my name on Twitter. Over on my site, and you'll also see on Twitter as well, you'll find access to my live stream. So I actually do as a weekly show, as I mentioned. So if you're interested in live streaming and live technology and live video, every single Sunday I do a show at 5 o'clock. We always have a replay, but you can find access to that over on my website. You can also find access to my Talking Social Business podcast, which is all about social technology tools. Of course, I talk about a lot about visual content marketing tools and video tools in that as well. And if you want to see something that's short, bite-sized piece of content, because my live stream shows are typically a little longer, they might be about an hour long, I do 10-minute bite-sized nuggets, and you'll find those in terms of over on Facebook Live. I'm on facebook.com/Krishna Day, and I'm covering at the minute an A to Z of live video to help you get started. So I'm not talking so much about platforms. I'm talking about some of the principles we've talked about today, but actually in much greater depth. So facebook.com/Krishna Day. But the best place, I think, is either Twitter or Krishna.me, which will navigate to other places. And, you know, I actually find that sometimes people just don't know where to get started. I had no ambition, you know, Jorgen, to be on camera. None at all. I have had in the past I've hosted a regular radio show, not an internet radio show, a proper radio show, but I never wanted to be on TV. And sometimes it's that barrier of actually, get comfortable about being on camera. And even if that's the questions that you have, over on my site, on my contact page, you'll see how you can just schedule a conversation with me and we can talk you through some steps. Because guess what? For a lot of my live streams, I don't even have to be on camera.
Hey, very good. Great. All right. Thank you very much, Krishna Day. Thank you for your time.
Okay. What are your thoughts on live video? We've dipped our toes in the water a few times here at Link Humans, but I think to do it well, you really have to immerse yourself properly, just like Krishna does, of course. And everything that Krishna mentioned will be in the show notes article on linkhumans.com/podcast. So check that out. And this week's big shout is going out to our friend Martin Mosler of Hager Group, because he came over last week all the way from Germany to join us for our big office party. And we had a great day when we explored the Camden markets and, of course, a good party in the evening. So thank you so much, Martin, for coming out. And Martin is a great supporter of Link Humans and the work that we do here. And follow him on Twitter at Martin_Mosler, M-O-S-L-E-R. That's on Twitter. And he's also a very famous Pinterest personality. He's got about 130,000 followers on there. So it's Martin_Mosler on Pinterest. Check him out. And make sure you subscribe to this podcast in iTunes and other places. When you hit that subscribe button, please let me know. Please, so I can thank you personally. Also, if you feel that you got value out of this episode and this podcast in general, please leave us an honest review on iTunes and or the podcast app, and that will be most appreciated. Finally, did you figure out why the capital of Ireland is the fastest growing city in the world? Very simple. Every year, it keeps on doubling and doubling and doubling. Okay, many thanks for tuning in, and I will look forward to catching up with you next week.
Thank you for listening to Social Media Know-How with your host, Jorgen Sundberg of Link Humans. For show notes and more, go to linkhumans.com/podcast and check out the hashtag SMKnowHow.
My phrase that I think can help keep you sane is, if it doesn't give you love, throw it out. And that can apply to relationships through to clutter on your desk.